Good morning. I think I have a misfit here. I have a misfit because so far we have heard about the results of specific experiments, a lot of data. I'm not presenting any of those things. My presentation, as the title shows here, is based on the experience we have gathered in conducting some of the studies for the past many years, more than a decade, I would say, in measuring, estimating carbon sequestration potential of agroforestry systems. And agroforestry is an area in which I have been working for almost four decades now. So without going further into those things, I just want to say that we believe that agroforestry could be a bridge between the prevailing divide between ecology and economy, because ecologists believe that economy is a subset of the ecological processes and ecological systems, whereas economists just don't agree with that. So we believe that something like agroforestry, as I said, I have been working on that topic for almost four decades now, is a bridge between this ecology-economy divide. And we are not going into any of these details of how it started, where it started, what we have done, and all those things. So they have all been very well documented. We have also a lot of information on the distribution of the different types of agroforestry systems in different parts of the world, including the temperate industrialized world. And I'll be happy to go into those things later after this brief presentation. So during the past three decades, or more than three decades, agroforestry has come of age, and it has demonstrated its value, its role in farming systems, land use systems around the world. And we believe that agroforestry represents an example of transforming traditional practices into science-based technologies to address the land management problems. So much about introduction. And one of the main aspects of agroforestry, we believe, is that the so-called ecosystem services that it can provide. The UN Millennium Assessment identifies four different types of ecosystem services, like provisioning services, regulating services, and habitat or supporting services, and cultural services. The second one here, I can't get the pointer here, but the second one here, regulating services, is the one under which carbon sequestration and climate change mitigation aspects come, and we believe that agroforestry systems have a major role to play in providing carbon sequestration and climate change mitigation. We have conducted research on this topic in different parts of the world, and published quite a bit of scientific information data on those things. Now, as I said in the beginning, my presentation is to summarize the experience we have learned from this in terms of the methodological problems that we have in addressing some of the carbon sequestration measurement. So the ecosystem services on which we have worked so far include soil productivity and protection, water quality enhancement, biodiversity conservation, and climate change mitigation and adaptation, and carbon sequestration. The last one is the main topic of discussion here. If you look at these things, you can also see that these different types of studies transcend across different areas or different temporal scales. For example, the soil fertility studies, soil improvement studies are inevitably local in nature, whereas water quality enhancement studies extend over a landscape level, and the biodiversity conservation studies and issues go into regional levels, and when you come to climate change mitigation and carbon sequestration studies, we go into a regional to global mode. Now, I had a mix up in the slide, so I had to go back to this slide. So different people have estimated different numbers. Some people have measured, some people have, like me, for example, estimated based on the different types of measurements that are available and published. A lot of estimates are available on the carbon sequestration potential of agroforestry systems in different types of agroforestry systems in different parts of the world. So that is not the main thing. I'm sorry about this confusion. So the challenges we have in doing this sort of projections, estimation, studies are several. First of all, many of these global estimates are based on allometric equations. Allometric equations based on which the biomass of the standing biomass is estimated by various means, by actual measurements, very few, or estimations remotely. And the allometric equations have not been developed for many of the agroforestry trees. In a presentation just before, before two presentations, there was a mention about Phytherbia albida and other fertilizer trees used extensively in Africa and other places. But allometric equations have not been developed for those trees, those localized species. So what people do in those situations is that they take approximations or use regionally available data or numbers for estimate for allometric equations. Well, we are already in trouble there because we are dealing with estimations there. So these equations vary very greatly with species, age, wood density, a number of characteristics, ball shape, and so on and so forth. So I am making the point that many of these estimations are based on approximations. Now, the use of general or regional equations that is recommended even by FAO and other international organizations, they all have these limitations. The general forestry models are based on continuous canopies, and we don't have that sort of continuous canopies in agroforestry systems because agroforestry systems consist of trees and herbaceous species. So the general models that we have for continuous canopies are not necessarily applicable to agroforestry systems, especially when we are dealing with such systems in very small family farms and small plots. Moreover, agroforestry systems are very unique. The plant, soil, and system management operations are very site-specific. So one size does not fit all. That applies very well in this case. And in terms of soil estimations, on which we have spent a lot of time working in different places around the world, as I said, there are lots of uncertainties, lots of inconsistencies in the data that are reported. 3 years ago, I think we produced a comprehensive chapter on advances in agronomy, on carbon sequestration, potential of agroforestry systems in under different conditions and all that. So we are frustrated with the variability, inconsistency, the type of data that are reported even in peer-reviewed journals. The sampling depth, for example, is not uniform. In agriculture, we always deal with 15 centimeters or 20 centimeters, or some rare cases, 30 centimeters. But we know the roots go much deeper than that. And as somebody mentioned here in this morning session also, the amount of carbon that was sequestered and present in the tree roots and in the soil below in the deeper horizons of soil that are deliberately kept out of our measurements in many agricultural experiments, we don't know. So there is a lot of inconsistencies in that. Also in the sampling plan, if you have a 30-hectare landscape, as we encountered once, in ecology and forestry, it's always okay that you take a large landscape like that and take measurements from different regions or locations in that contiguous plot or land mass, and we get away with that. But when it comes to rigorous scrutiny by conventional agricultural statisticians, we are compromising the principle of randomization there because we don't have, it's a contiguous plot. On the other hand, if you conduct an agronomic experiment on a 1-hectare plot with 4 blocks and 5 blocks, whatever is required according to the statistical design you are adopting, no problem. So there are some difficulties in dealing with some of these what we call pseudo-replication and things like that. Then there is also a problem with repeated measures, because if you are taking measurements from, let's say, 0 to 5 centimeters, 5 to 15 centimeters and 15 to 20, 30 centimeters, whatever, you are measuring or drawing samples from the same site, and that means you are compromising the principle of randomization there also. So we had long discussions with statisticians on these things. These are some of the difficulties we have to deal with. So there are variations in analysis of soil samples. There are a lot of variations. Then also, most of the data, many data sets that are reported in literature, they have all this problem with, they are insufficient for an analysis in a uniform pattern, because, can you believe that some of the data, some of the papers that report soil carbon based on field measurements, they don't even report the fundamental information like bulk density of the soil. So how do you calculate them per unit area, like a hectare? So there are difficulties like that. Then a lot of people tend to extrapolate these things based on these site measurements, and as I said earlier, these systems are very site specific, and extrapolation would always lead to problems. There are also other challenges. The area under agroforestry, different people have reported, including myself, have reported different numbers, and we still don't know exactly, frankly speaking, what the area under agroforestry is, because there is no uniformly accepted way of defining the extent of area that is covered by a combined system of trees and crops. So that's another issue. The chrono sequence studies and that sort of continuous studies, long-term studies, are just not existing, just not have been undertaken in this sort of situations. In forestry situations, the beginning of the rotation cycle, and then you go to the end of the rotation cycle of whatever number of years that is. But here, in combinations of trees and crops, that we cannot apply that model because herbaceous crops come and go. So that forestry models cannot be applied here, and so we have to then go for the agronomic approaches of annual one-shot measurement, and then that has got limitations because we are dealing with tree components. Then the pattern of carbon storage over time. This is an issue that I think needs some attention, because the nature of the curve of carbon storage over time, it is unlikely to be linear. I think it is not linear as we know. It's important to understand how much carbon is being sequestered when. Okay, in a continuous system like agroforestry system, this information is important, and we don't have that. And also the residence time of carbon in soil. It's difficult to know. The residence time of carbon sequestered depends on when that carbon is sequestered. In other words, are the cycles that the initial carbon and later carbon additions go through the same? Well, so these are some of the challenges that we have come across, and I know there are no easy solutions or answers to these. And so summing up these frustrations, I would say lack of rigorous and consistent procedures for data collection and reporting would lead to missing the opportunity for capitalizing on the environmental benefits of agroforestry systems. No easy, fast, and pragmatic solution exists to these complex issues in the short term. At the very minimum, researchers should include accurate description of the methods and procedures they use in terms of sampling and analytical methods and so on and so forth. And I think we need national and international efforts and consensus in addressing these issues. Thank you very much.
We can take maybe one quick question.
Is there data on the relation of the types of fertilizer that you would use in agroforestry, short-term rotation forestry, and their effects on carbon sequestration?
Well, the question is there any data on the effect of the fertilizers that you would use in agroforestry systems on the effect of those fertilizers on carbon sequestration? I would say yes and no, and a big no, because in most of the agroforestry systems, farmers are not using fertilizers, especially in poor countries. Now, in some countries, like in India, this is the previous presentation, and some other places in agroforestry system, they apply some fertilizers. The thing is, agroforestry is perceived as an alternative to minimal use of fertilizer, if not avoidance of fertilizer use. So There are not too many experiments where fertilizers have been applied in agroforestry situation. There are some, and some data are available, but they are also subject to some of the limitations and the weaknesses and the deficiencies that I mentioned.
Thank you.